This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Of phantoms and monsters. They exist among us, and sometimes they win. Even the devil was an angel once. The world has its own rules, and these rules are not human. Some of us seek answers to the origin and existence of cryptids and the unexplained. Join us as we venture beyond the known and accepted boundaries. Welcome to our nightmare. I think you're going to like it.
Hey, folks, good evening, and welcome to Phantoms and Monsters. Thanks for joining me. And, I want to welcome all new members to the channel, as well as first timers in the chat. If you're listening to me for the first time, please like and subscribe the channel. So, tonight I'm going to offer a bit of a history lesson. I want to, talk a bit about the Snallygaster before we start to concentrate on dragons and wyverns. So just sit back and try to take it in. And, if you have questions, you can save them for the end of the show. Now, the Blue Ridge Mountains area was settled by German immigrants beginning in the 1730s. And in fact, Pennsylvania, my family came here from Switzerland in 1734. So I hear a lot of different stories for a lot of different things. But anyway, the early accounts describe the community being terrorized by a monster called a Snallygeist, or a Snallygaster in Pennsylvania Dutch. Now, the term translates to quick spirit or fast spirit, often associated with those strange drafts that slam doors, top over lightweight objects, or even scatter papers. The visual or physical appearance of the Snallygaster is confusing, since there are several variations of the narrative, some having roots in the dragon lore of the early settlers. Thus, the Snallygaster more often has similarities to dragons, green and scaled and winged. Now, tales existed that the Snallygaster was a monstrous bird preying on young children. It's been suggested that the legend was resurrected in the 19th century after the Civil War, and to frighten the freed slaves, actually. So reports started to surface of a strange flying beast first appearing in Frederick County, Maryland, in February 1909. Now, the story was carried prominently in Middletown Valley Register, a weekly newspaper, for about a month. Then the story mysteriously died. In those early issues, the flying beasts seemed to be everywhere at once. New Jersey, West Virginia, Ohio, and headed this way into the mountains. It was reported to have created quite a stir in New Jersey, where its footprints were first discovered in the snow. The first person to see it, a Mr. James Harding, described it as having enormous wings, a long, sharp beak, claws like steel, and one eye in the middle of its forehead. He said it made a shrill screeching noise and looked like the cross between a tiger and a vampire. Now, a vampire may have been a very good description, for it was reported to have killed a man by the name of Bill Grifferson by piercing his neck with its sharp bill and slowly sucking his blood. It was also seen in West Virginia, where it almost caught a woman near Scrabble, roosted in Alice Crow's barn, and laid an egg near Sharpsburg, where it was reported some men had rigged up an incubator to try to hatch it. A man by the name of T.C. Harbaugh of Cass, Ohio, wrote a letter to the Valley Register in early 1909 telling of a strange beast that flew over his area making a terrible screeching noises. Now, Harbaugh described it as having two huge wings, a large horny head, and a tail 20 feet long. He said it looked as though it was headed this way. Sure enough, the Snallygaster was first sighted in Maryland by a man who fired a brick-burning kiln near Cumberland. Now, the strange beast was seen cooling its wings over the outlet to the kiln. Then the beast's sleep was disturbed by a man. It emitted a blood-curdling scream and angrily flew away. It was also shot at near Hagerstown, sighted south of Middletown at Lover's Leap, and seen flying over the mountains between Gaplin and Burkittsville, where it was reported to have laid another egg big enough to hatch an elephant. Now, sightings of the Snallygaster were creating such a commotion that at one point it was reported that President Theodore Roosevelt might postpone a trip to Europe so he could lead an expedition to capture it. So apparently, the Smithsonian Institute was also interested in the beast. From the description provided by a sighting at Shepherdsburg, West Virginia, they determined the strange beast was actually a Snallygaster. Now, the last sighting in Frederick County in 1909 occurred near Emmitsburg in early March. Three men fought a terrible creature outside a railroad station for nearly an hour and a half before chasing into the woods of Carroll County. 23 years passed before the Snallygaster appeared again in Frederick County. The reports were received from just below South Mountain in Washington County. Eyewitness accounts claim that it flew toward them from the Middletown Valley. Now, the beast was often seen flying back and forth over the area and was large as a dirigible, with arms resembling the tentacles of an octopus. The creature appeared to be able to change its size, shape, and color at will. I do have a photo here, or an image, a sketch of this creature. Although the creature made no attempt to harm any of the residents of the valley, most people sought the safety of their homes as it flew overhead. Now, all descriptions seem to indicate it was once again the Snallygaster, last reported in those parts in March 5th of 1909. Now, as the life expectancy of the Snallygaster is only supposedly 20 years, the most logical explanation seemed to be that the latest sighting was the offspring of the 1909 creature, possibly hatched from one of the eggs laid near Burkittsville. Since the Snallygaster appeared so rarely, the Middletown Valley Register requested that residents sighting the creature provide an accurate and detailed description as possible for scientific purposes. Now, two such residents, Charles F. Martin and Edward M. N. Leiter, were able to provide the necessary information. while driving a truck on National Pike just east of Braddock Heights. They spotted the Snallygaster flying about 25 feet overhead. They thoroughly confirmed the descriptions published the previous week. Now, the Snallygaster finally met its end in a way some might envy. The creature was flying near Frog Hollow in Washington County when it was attracted by the aroma of a 2,500-gallon vat of moonshine. Now, as the beast flew overhead, it was overcome by the fumes and dropped into the boiling mash. A short time later, revenue agents George Dansford and Charles Cushwa arrived on the scene. They had received information about the still, but were rather startled at the sight of the dead monster in the vat. The two agents exploded 500 pounds of dynamite underneath the still, destroying the remains of the Snallygaster and John Barleycorn's workshop. A great deal has been written about the Snallygaster since 1909. It has appeared in countless articles in the Middletown Valley Register, Frederick News Post, and other area newspapers. It also appeared in the Baltimore Sun, National Geographic, and Time magazine. Now, in 1976, the Washington Post sponsored an unsuccessful search for the Snallygaster, as well as other strange Maryland creatures. Now, before I go any further, I want to mention that this channel is made possible by you clicking on the subscribe and like buttons and by you sharing our programming. Super chat and super thanks donations are appreciated. You can click the dollar icon located below the chat box, and the Buy Me a Coffee link is also shown below, so thanks for your consideration. And if you're in the chat and you have questions, please use all caps, and I'll try to get to each one after my presentation. Now, even though the Snallygaster is said to be the Maryland monster, you rarely hear much about it, though there have been a few hunts conducted within the Patapsco and Cunningham Falls state parks in recent years. I even heard that the Snallygaster den was located near Camp David at one point. But, you know, believe what you may. Anyway, that's about all the information I have on the Snallygaster. As we go into talking about dragons and wyverns and such, and for you Game of Thrones enthusiasts, as you listen closely, you may start to hear a faint rendering of the Song of Fire and Ice as I speak. Now, before I start receiving questions, I need to point out a distinction between a dragon and a wyvern. A dragon has four legs and a separate pair of wings. Now, there is also a drake who has four legs of a dragon, but no wings. A wyvern has the two back legs and wings of a dragon, but no front legs. But a verm has no legs and no wings, like a massive snake. But perhaps they're just all dragons. So let's begin. A South New Jersey couple are driving home in the early morning when they observe and are assailed by a huge membrane-winged creature. Several of the upcoming reports originated from New Jersey. Now, these comments were all forwarded to me. I live in extreme southern New Jersey, not all that far from the Salem nuclear plant in Salem County. Now, one evening at approximately 1:30 or 2 o'clock a.m., my husband and I had our first experience with a cryptid. We spent the evening having dinner at home of his boss. My husband had a few drinks, so we agreed I would drive home. Now, I was driving a Honda S2000 with the top down, as it was a beautiful, warm evening. Now, about 3 miles from our home on a backcountry road with my speed driving approximately at 60 mile an hour, we had just passed a wooded area on both sides of the road. Something approached our car, flying overhead from behind the vehicle. It flew overhead so close that I felt like I could have reached up and touched it. Now, when I say it flew overhead, it was not flying, but gliding. Its wings never flapped. not even once during the whole experience. Yet, this thing was able to exceed the speed of my car, swoop in front of the moving vehicle, and avoid getting hit. As we hooked up, we clearly saw that there was not a single feather on the wings. So don't tell me, oh, it was just a huge owl, because it was not an owl. The wings were black leather, exactly like those of a bat. We could clearly see either bone structure or veining between the layers of the wings. Now, in a Honda S2000, the headlights are halogen. The beam from these lights not only lights up the roadway path in front of you, but they go beyond the road on either side to also include lighting the bank on either side in front of you. This thing glided overhead from behind, down over my windshield and hood, then directly in front of my car. It continued to glide 2 feet off the road surface before veering off to the right, at which point we lost sight of it. However, while directly in front of me, I could clearly see the wingspan exceeded the width of the two-lane road on each side by at least a foot. My husband, who was reclining in the seat next to me, looked at me and said, "Did you see what I saw?" I told him, "You describe the thing you saw. Then I will do the same." I swear, let God strike me dead if I'm lying. We both described the same creature. Now, granted, he had a couple of drinks, but was in no way intoxicated. I know for a fact two people cannot hallucinate the same creature, period. My husband was a retired school teacher, 30 years. We have nothing to gain by telling anyone of this encounter. So we both agreed to never tell what happened to us to avoid being called crazy. No pun intended. However, I have told neighbors that live close to me, only because they have small children. They all look at me like I'm nuts, but I feel better safe than sorry. I could never forgive myself if something were to happen and I had not warned them. I personally never let my dog out late at night anymore. I'm very leery of my surroundings now. This has affected me greatly. Listen, there are things out there that we have no clue about. But once you have your first encounter, you forever believe. Now, this image I have up here was actually drawn by the next witness. A New Jersey woman describes two unusually large avian cryptids that her and her mother observed in Monmouth County back in the late 1980s. My mother was born in eastern Pennsylvania in 1909. She knew most of the New Jersey and Pennsylvania birds by sight and call. I would say that she was a very serious avian enthusiast. This is something I never learned. In the late 1980s, we went to a Hugh Pickett farm just north in New Jersey. I believe it's Monmouth County. It was summer. The farm was in an area of small farms with houses and roads scattered here and there. Now, upon exiting the farm, I drove slowly on the road that was winding. For some reason, my mother and I both looked up and saw two birds, both taller than men, perched and hiding in the branches of a tall tree. No kidding. Like no birds either of us had ever seen. The height sitting on the branches was well over 6 feet. If you can ascribe expression to birds, they were not happy to have seen us looking at them. They were literally glaring at us. They also had hooded faces, like a nun's habit that completely covered the head down to the shoulders. They did have beaks, but they were short. The eyes were seen and were very round and large, but avian, like the eye placement of a raptor. They had very short necks and were drab grayish in color. Their wings were at their side. And the wings were long, about the end of their bodies. Now, as we were in the car, we weren't too terribly afraid. If I was walking, that would have been another story. Now, this is not made up. Serious. Now, one of my team had mentioned that during the time there was a Great Adventures amusement park nearby, which had a safari attraction. And they suggested that possibly a pair of escaped exotic birds may have, you know, may have gotten out. But, you know, like I said before, Central New Jersey is well known for cryptid winged beings, let alone the possible Jersey Devil, but also dragon-like creatures and an occasional pterosaur. Now, this next account, the witness states, hello, in July 2016, I was driving on Marshallville Road by the river near Tuckahoe, New Jersey. I don't know the time, but it was dusk and the sky was light enough to see anything in the sky. I caught a glimpse of a huge flying creature crossing the roadway approximately 100 feet in the air. I swear it was shaped like a dragon, silhouetted against the lighter sky, flying south towards the state forest. I looked at it for almost 10 seconds. The wings were wide and there was a long tail. The head was like that of an unknown reptile. It was dark in color and flapped the large wings, which had to be 30 feet or more in width. There was another car behind me. They saw it by the expression on their faces. I pulled over and the two people in the other car looked over when they passed me, pointing to the sky. Now, I tried to get them to stop, but they were moving too fast. So I lowered my window and yelled, but they continued on. When I stuck my head out of the window, I immediately smelled a foul stench and felt warm downdrafts. It was very weird. I have added an image I found that closely mimics what I saw, and that's the image I have up there now. I'm not naive, and I know that this could have been an actual, this could not have been an actual animal. I almost feel like I entered a time warp at the time this creature appeared. And for the rest of the evening, I had a physical reaction like jet lag. Now, I haven't said anything to anyone. I live alone and I'm retired. I've lived in this area for most of my life and I've never experienced anything like this. There has been no mention of this in the local news. I may have seen something I shouldn't have. So what are your thoughts? The gentleman's name was Malcolm. Now, I called Malcolm that very afternoon, and we had an interesting conversation. He asked me to redact some of the personal information from his original email since, you know, I asked for his permission to publish it. I gathered a few other details. The sighting date was Sunday, June 3rd, around 8:15 p.m. His description was stark and believable. The body from tip to tail was estimated at 50 to 60 feet, and that there were long appendages on each side of the head. The foul stench was likened to rotting fish. We discussed his assertion of a possible time slip. Now, I asked if he had noticed other changes in the surrounding area during the sighting. He said that he didn't detect any anomalies. I'm going to conduct some follow-up, and I did, of the investigation in the account. So, you know, I tried to get others to come forward with this, and we did get a few responses. So, you know, after getting these reports, I started to wonder what was really going on in South and Central New Jersey. But, of course, that wasn't the only account that I received. About a week after receiving that report, I received another sighting of a dragon flying over South New Jersey. Hi, I just read your post about the dragon sighted over Southern New Jersey. It took me by surprise because I had a similar experience in the mid-80s when I was still a kid, about 10 years old. It was before noon in the springtime, and I was biking around a local ballpark by home. It was the Nottingham Baseball Field in Hamilton, New Jersey. There were no games scheduled that day, so I was alone, as far as I could tell. There was a play area and a pond by the woods. I would frequent a lot when I was bored in hopes of finding other kids to play with. Now, about halfway there, while looking up at the clouds and sky, I saw what I thought was a plane coming from the south. There's a small airstrip by us, and there were some very cool biplanes that would fly by time to time. My favorite was the Red Baron style one, and I thought that was it because of the color. I stopped and turned to watch and wave. It's thing kids do. When the plane gave its wings a single long flap, that's when I realized it wasn't a plane. It was a dragon. There is no doubt in my mind. It was dark red. I could see the sun shimmering off its scales as it got closer. I didn't wave. I felt frozen to the spot, dumbstruck, and a little scared and very excited. It was huge, flying at about the same height as the biplanes do. And it didn't make any sound as it went overhead, just gliding. It was like the classical European dragon, but proportions were a little different. When it was right overhead, I felt a blast of heat. I assumed it was fiery breath at the time. I was absolutely vibrating with excitement and looked around frantically for anyone else that might be around. But the ball fields were empty. No one was outside in the nearby houses. Now, I kept going at a steady clip, and right before it disappeared over the tree line to the north, it gave another slow flap of its massive wings. I turned right around and sped out of the park, hoping to find someone else who had seen it. No one. Everyone was inside their homes that early. And when I got home, I realized no one would believe me. So I never told my parents. They'd think I was making up. Instead, I told my older sister, but she said I saw probably a hang glider or a fancy plane. It was such an odd sight, I never pursued any further. But nice to see that dragons are still flying over New Jersey. Thanks for all you do. And this is the picture that he sent to me of what this thing looked like. So he said it was red. So then in October 2016, I received the following account. Hello, I just read about the flying dragon over South New Jersey in Weird New Jersey. Weird New Jersey is a website and there's also a book. And I've had a very similar experience twice. The first time was about 3 years ago in March. I was driving near Marlton, New Jersey in the Voorhees area at around 3 o'clock p.m. Looked up and saw this huge creature flying. I was in complete shock because I could not believe the size of this thing, and the sun was still out at the time, so I had plenty of good sight of it. It was no bird because it did not have feathers nor fur. These gigantic wings were like a bat with a reptilian head, exactly like how the other person described it. I was in the car with family, and by the time I could get a word out of my mouth and point to it, it had already flown away. Its skin color was like a light beige, and it didn't even flap its wings, kind of like glided. It was flying very low as well, almost resembling a pterodactyl. Now, the second time was in Voorhees. Again, driving home at night last year about 9 o'clock p.m. on October 30th, and that was 2016. I saw the same exact body shape, but slightly smaller and flying lower than the first one. Freaky thing of this one was that its eyes glowed like crazy bright red, like car lights. The eyes on it freaked me out so much I couldn't tell anyone for at least 2 days. This one also had a darker skin tone, or maybe it was just the time of day I saw it. I had a very good look at both creatures. I'm very aware of all animals that live around me. This is not like anything I'd ever seen. I did not experience any foul scents because I did not roll down my window or exit my car. I just wanted to share my part. Maybe it would have helped. Then the next account I heard came from a gentleman by the name of Mike, who lived in New Jersey, who's a police officer. He called me after contacting Art Bell on Coast to Coast AM to tell of the weird incident he received. I'm Mike calling from Galloway Township in New Jersey. I got a weird story. I'm a police officer, and Galloway Township is kind of a rural area. We're outside of Atlantic City. We were dispatched. This was back in October. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Jersey Devil. It's like an old wives' tale. I never encountered it myself, but back in October in the early part of the month, around midnight, we got dispatched to a motor vehicle accident on Route 9, which kind of connects to the Garden State Parkway, which loops around Atlantic City. We get out there, and the car is in the middle of the road. It's a Nissan Altima, and it's got significant front end damage. The driver's in kind of a daze. He and his wife were in Atlantic City, and they thought they had hit a deer. Now, the damage to the car was not conducive with that hitting a deer. Me and the other officer that responded, we looked, but we could not find a deer. And while we were there, and I'm a cop for 23 years, I just got this foreboding feeling like I was being watched. And I swear I could hear a grunting noise. Now, the damage to the car was significant. We loaded it away. It went on a flatbed. It was like it hit a fixed object. If the car hits a deer, you normally see deer blood in the front of the car, or it goes up and over the hood, or cracks the corner panel or something, but this looked like it went right into a pole. The guy said he didn't see anything. He just remembers hitting something. The two odd things, he was going north on Route 9, but the car was almost facing the southbound, almost as if it pivoted around whatever it hit. Now, the next day, the officer and I investigated went out early in part of the shift before sunset, and we searched the area. We couldn't find anything, but I swear as we checked the sides of the road, like the tree line off Route 9 going into the tree line, I swear it almost looked like ostrich footprints. I mean, I'm looking at them going, Mark, this is too big. This is not a deer print. And it's not a man's print. It's like an ostrich, and that's not indicative of this area of South Jersey. So we started talking back at the station that we might have been the Jersey Devil. We never saw anything. We were spitballing later back at the station, like, what did the guy hit? He didn't hit a deer. It was so large. It was right there on the road. It was a clear stretch. The speed limit is 50 mile an hour. It's one way in each direction. It's a two-lane road. It's not lit. It's kind of rural. It's like a cut around the parkway, and whatever he hit, it was significant enough to bend the car around. Now, Art Bell had asked him about the driver, how fast he was going. He said we didn't quiz him too much, but I'd probably say it was going 50 to 45 to 50. When we did the write-up, there was no fatalities. So, and then Art said, Art mentions that it should have been able to find the animal it hit. Yeah, if it was a deer, that's why we went back the next day. If he had hit something, it would have been thrown to the side of the road. There would have been enough trees to stop it from going too far into the wood line, but we didn't see anything except those ostrich-sized footprints. And we didn't follow it into the Pine Barrens, but it was too strange. This was back in October. There was no follow-up. I never heard from insurance about the scene or anything. I tell you, when we drive down that stretch of road, everybody's always says, you know, we're going a little slower and shining the spotlight. And if you're out in the middle of nowhere, and I said that night while we were looking up the car and taking it away, it's getting the sense that something's watching me. You just get that sixth sense as a cop, you know. You're not alone out there. This was too strange. And it couldn't figure out what it hit. If it was a deer, it would have been there. Now, I always find that account pretty interesting. There's nothing really that suggests it being a dragon, but the ostrich footprints, you know, that's different. Now, of course, if it had been an ostrich, say it was an escaped ostrich or something, it would have been dead. It would have killed it. So what did they hit? Was it a small dragon? Wyvern? I have no idea. So a second report concerning a large avian entity was received from Mercer County Park in New Jersey. And I have included the earlier report from the same general area in the mid-1980s. States, my wife and I, while trail biking in the remote area inside Mercer County Park, were startled by a huge bird that took off from a tree approximately 15 feet up directly in front of us while we stopped for a moment. This was on the narrow trail by the creek that feeds the backside of the dam. Now, I'm a retired law enforcement officer. I was very much concerned by this observation and felt that this encounter was unnatural by the size of the creature. Now, my wife was not concerned and wanted to go follow it. I had a feeling that we might be in jeopardy, and I wanted to leave it alone immediately and leave immediately. The bird had a wingspan of over 10 foot and was larger than anything natural I had ever seen fly. It made no sound, and when it left the tree directly in front of us, it glided approximately 50 feet and rode the trees across the creek, and I couldn't see it land. She wanted to follow it, and I had this feeling of doom and wanted to leave. I knew it was unnatural, and there was a sense of impending doom to me. I couldn't readily see a head, beak, tail, legs, or claws. This bird was the size of a small hang glider. I know hawks, buzzards, vultures, and the different kinds of flying creatures in the surrounding habitat. I'm an outdoors guy, and I have grown up in this environment. I am familiar with all that lives in this habitat. When this thing glided away from the tree, I focused on the right wing, and it had a perpendicular, multicolored pattern of gray, black, and brown in varying shades. The sheer size and mass of the thing was nothing I had ever seen before. The clincher beyond the sheer mass and size is that this thing was the eerie, alarming feeling I'd had when I saw it, and I was got this feeling I had to leave. So that's all I have from New Jersey. And I don't think I've received any other account from the Jersey area since 2016. But it makes you wonder what's being seen. Of course, like I said before, we've had reports of the Jersey Devil. But look, if somebody had hit that with a car, it in the sizes that it's mostly described as, if it's real, of course. This, you would have found blood, you would have found remains or something from it. So it's a mystery. I have no idea what's going on or what people are seeing. So going to California. On Sunday, March 21st, 2019, I received a call from a female witness who states that she and a friend encountered a huge flying cryptid while leaving the Cache Creek Casino Resort in Capay Valley, California. The incident occurred in early August 2018 at approximately 11 p.m. local time. Now, the witness states that they had just pulled onto Route 16 when this Cessna-sized dragon swiftly glided over the back towards the front of their vehicle. The winged being was so big that it left the vehicle shudder from the force of it passing over them. Because of the lights surrounding the area, the witness states that she got an excellent view of the creature. She said that the wings were bat-like and had an approximate span of 30 foot or more. The body was thin and almost human-like. The color was dark, probably black. She also stated that it looked back at them as it flew over and that it had large, bright yellow eyes. The witness never saw it flap its wings, but it glided with ease and speed. It quickly ascended into the darkness. Now, the same witness also stated that a friend was at the same location on the first week of January 2019 and witnessed a very similar winged being. This was in the parking lot of the Cache Creek Casino Resort at around 1 a.m. Their description was of a very large winged entity that quickly passed overhead as they were walking to their vehicle. They also felt a slight rush of air as it flew above them. Now, this next account was kind of part of the Chicago Mothman investigation. But you tell me what they saw. A North Chicago Portage Park community resident and his neighbor observed a huge dragon-like cryptid flying overhead while working in their yards on Tuesday, May 18, 2021. I received the report, and I then received a telephone call from the witness, Frank. And what he described was a flying dragon in the Portage Park community of Chicago. The location is approximately 2 miles east of O'Hare International. Now, he states that the witness and his neighbor were walking, were outside working on their lawns. It was Tuesday, May 18, 2021, and around 1:30 p.m. local time in the vicinity of West Addison Street and North Austin Avenue. Frank is a 69-year-old man of Sicilian descent who was assisting his neighbor, Ron, while working in his yard. Now, Frank said that his back was hurting him, so he sat on the front steps and leaned back. As he did this, he looked above the neighborhood and observed a huge winged being flying overhead. Frank states that it was the shape like a brontosaurus. And he mentioned, for those of us that remember, that it looked like an old Sinclair gasoline toy dinosaur that they handed out to the customers. And I remember this because my great uncle owned a Sinclair gas station back in the 50s and 60s here in Hanover, Pennsylvania. Anyway, he said it had a long neck and viper-like head, a thick body, and a long tail that extended in a spade-shaped appendage. The bat-like wings extend broadly from the side, almost the same width as the length of the creature's body. Now, Frank states that it may have been 250 to 300 feet in altitude, hard to tell since it was an overcast day. The creature was dark gray and black throughout its length. The wings were large enough that he could tell it had membrane or skin structure. Now, after Frank and Ron watched for a few seconds, the winged beast lowered its head, neck, and dipped towards its left. It then flapped its wings twice and quickly disappeared towards the north. Now, when Frank talked to me, I could tell that he was shocked by what he had seen. He was coherent, precise, and quite relieved to be able to talk to someone about this. Now, his brother found my phone number online and insisted that Frank call me. He hedged for 2 days, but eventually made the call. Now, he had no idea of the winged humanoid sightings in Chicago and the Lake Michigan region until his brother did mention it to him. He also mentioned that if he had heard someone recount this experience to him, he would have out of hand discounted it. He had never bought into cryptids and the supernatural. And as of May 18th, he became a believer and wants to know what he observed that afternoon. So this would have been the last account, but considering the collapse of this Francis Scott Key Bridge that occurred this past week in south of the Port of Baltimore, I began to go further into my archives. Now, after that happened, that next day, I was inundated with requests for winged humanoid and Mothman sightings or unexplained encounters in the general Baltimore metro area. Of course, the next account is not related, but any bridge collapse immediately sparks interest concerning the high number of Mothman sightings and the Silver Bridge collapse on the Ohio River near Point Pleasant, West Virginia, in December 15th of 1967, where 46 people met their deadly fate. Now, at that time, the Mothman was supposed to be seen above the Silver Bridge that same night, even though there's never been any tangible proof. Thus, the legend of the phenomenon was sealed, giving the Mothman its harbinger status. So this next account, this is an investigation that I took on in the mid-1980s. I was living there at the time, and actually occurred near a place where I was working at. So the sightings were reported in 1985 and continued into 1987. It was an odd situation because I knew a few of the witnesses, and I was also employed nearby at the time of the sightings. Cryptid investigation was new for me since my focus was researching and investigating hauntings and infestations, but I had an interest in local Bigfoot encounters and wanted to expand my cryptid knowledge. And of course, I had my encounter in May of 1981. So during the afternoon of May 5th, 1985, I received a telephone call from Alfred M., the initial witness, and a gentleman I worked with. He and two other men had seen a large bird-like creature perched in a hickory tree while driving south on Thistle Road near River Road, adjacent to the Patapsco State Park in southwest Baltimore County, Maryland. Alfred stopped the vehicle and watched the creature for several minutes. It eventually flew out of the tree and landed approximately 50 feet from the road, where the witnesses got a keen observation of the creature. Albert stated that it stood about 5 foot high and was greenish blue in color, except for the head, which was bright red. The wingspan was enormous. He estimated it was 15 foot or more from tip to tip. Now, the legs were thick and long with distinguishable talons. The eyes were also noticeable, slanted and large with bright yellow hue. It also made a clucking and cackle sound. Now, after a minute or so, it unfurled its wings and took flight towards the east. Alfred said it reminded him of a hybrid dragon and peacock, which he thought was crazy, but he stuck with the description. Now, at the time, I thought that this creature was either a large turkey buzzard or maybe a peacock someone may have had as a pet. And in fact, a peacock farm did exist in that area back in the 1950s, according to some of the people I had interviewed in the area. I went to that location, but I found no evidence supporting that sighting. So later that year, I heard a rumor of a large bird being seen near the Hilton area of the Patapsco State Park on Hilltop Road. After several inquiries, I was able to locate the witness, Darlene M., who confirmed the sighting. Now, she and her daughter lived nearby and had been walking along Hilltop Road when they observed a huge bird flying towards them. Darlene stated that the creature got within 20 foot of them, then suddenly changed direction and flew into the woods. She said that they were terrified because she wasn't sure if it was going to hit them. Now, she had gone to the library to see if she could find a picture of the creature. She found an old illustration of a Feng Huang, or Chinese phoenix, and said it looked very similar to what they observed. She described the head as vibrant red with fierce eyes. The wings were leathery and tipped with large green feathers. It flew by so quickly that she was unable to get a better description. Now, once again, I was stumped by the sighting. I talked to two ornithologists who basically thought I was delusional. Now, I also contacted the State Park Service and asked if they had heard of any strange reports. Nothing, though they were amused by my questions. So in the morning of April 29th, 1986, several employees at the paper mill where I was working as an engineer observed a large bird standing in the loading area. Now, according to the witnesses, this creature fit the description of a very large peacock, but there were some oddities. The head was red in color, and it didn't have long plumes. Other than those anomalies, the overall description pointed towards a peacock. Could there have been a breeding population in the state park? So later in January 1987, a truck driver, Robert, was headed south on Thistle Road and was startled by a huge bird that flew across the road in front of his vehicle. Now, I was able to interview him by telephone a few days later. He actually lived in Edison, New Jersey. His impression was that it looked like a dragon. There was snow on the ground, and the creature silhouetted well enough to get a quick but detailed look. Robert stated that it was as long as his truck was wide and was powerfully built. He also confirmed that it had the red color head and greenish blue body and wings. Now, at this point, I had nothing more than anecdotal evidence. Now, there was no natural explanation for the existence of this creature. Even today, I have little to go on because I simply have not come across any other cryptid that matches that description. So the final sighting, as far as I know, took place in June 30th of 1987. The witness, David, was a Baltimore Gas and Electric employee who, along with his partner, was working along the power line that runs north and south through the state park. At a point north of Hilltop Road, near an old mill village of Ilchester, is an abandoned church graveyard. Now, the former church was razed in the 1930s, but the graveyard was left on its own. Thus, it was severely overgrown by the woods. Now, David observed a large bird-like creature that he described as a griffin, though he admits that he didn't get a very good look at it. He only noticed the creature after hearing a rustling sound, which he thought was probably a deer moving through the woods. He said the creature rose up from a rock, spread its wing, and vanished. Now, David admitted that the sight of this beast was a shock and that he did not want to go back to the location. Now, I really wish I had more to offer on this. I kept the notes and vowed to go back and investigate the encounters and more sightings were reported, but unfortunately, I haven't heard anything since that time. Now, when I started to become more acquainted with the cryptid lore of the area, the historic manifestations of the Snallygaster grabbed my attention. Some of these 1980s reports of a dragon-like creature were very similar to the Snallygaster descriptions from earlier times, but I leave it up to you to determine what this winged creature really was. So, folks, do you have questions? I want to thank Old Rubberless for his $10 donation, Moondogs for their $5 super sticker, and Robo76 for their $10 donation. And he asked, any reports of dragons attacking people? Well, not around here anyway. I guess if you talk about the lore and the fantasies of dragons attacking, killing, burning people from back in the old world, I guess that's all I have. But no, that's it. I want to thank Win Nye's Nisi for the $20 donation and to Mortal Clown for her $20 donation. Very much appreciated. Let me go through here and see if I can find some more questions from y'all. I don't see any other questions. I'm still scrolling down. We have a nice crowd tonight. Thank you all for coming. Alice Chaston asks, have there been any cryptid sightings in Georgia? Well, there's lots of cryptid sightings in Georgia, Bigfoot sightings and such. As far as dragons go or winged beings or winged humanoids, no, I can't really say there have been. Of course, the only sighting that I know of a winged humanoid or possibly a Mothman was in North Georgia. And it's an encounter report that I received many years ago, over a decade ago. Any other questions, folks? Hans Quatch asks, any good vids or pics of dragons? No, I'm afraid not. unfortunately, most of these sightings were like what's been going on in Chicago. Very fleeting sightings, quick sightings. People just haven't had the opportunity to grab a phone and take a picture. Of course, if I ever get some, I'll put them up there. It's just like also with the with the Jersey Devil, there are just no real decent pictures of those beings as well. So, I don't know. Jose Sanchez asks, could there be a Mothman as large as a small dragon reported mistakenly as a dragon? I guess it probably could be. And I had thought about that. Of course, when we get that sighting in Chicago, even though this thing was supposedly that much, so much bigger, You know, first thing I thought was, well, maybe he's just not getting the size right, and maybe it was a winged humanoid. But after he started talking about Brontosaurus, I thought this was something much different. So, I guess it's possible. I guess it could be a mistake, you know, a misidentification. But honestly, I don't know. Okay, folks. Well, I want to thank you all for coming in tonight. Thanks for watching and chatting. If you donated, again, it's truly appreciated. Your support makes all this possible. And please like, subscribe, and share. If you had a sighting report or encounter, please feel free to contact me for, to put it on the show or to put it on the Phantoms and Monsters blog. You can contact me at lawnstrickler@phantomsandmonsters.com. We do have one more question. Alexis Chasson, Lon, do you think these dragon creatures are descendants of dinosaurs? I have no idea. You know, I don't even know if they're real. You know, the fact that, you know, look, we got a concentration of these sightings in New Jersey, but who knows what people are seeing? Could it be time slips? You know, that's another thing. Are people seeing time slips of some type? You know, I've heard people talk about possible time slips and glitches in the matrix in the Pine Barrens area. Is that something that may be going on? I don't know. Possibly. But I don't know if they're descendants of any type of reptile or any other creature. So I want to again thank you all for coming in tonight. Nice crowd. Always appreciate it. And again, if you're can make it next week. I don't know what I'm going to talk about, but I'll figure something out. So again, have a nice weekend. Be safe. And we'll talk to you next week. Take care.